Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kristen from The Burt Show, and Atlanta United is celebrating pet owners at the match on Saturday, April 12th, as the Five Stripes take on the New England Revolution. So each order of the Pet Appreciation Pack is going to include an Atlanta United pet bandana for your furry friend, and a portion of each ticket purchased will be donated back to the Atlanta Humane Society, where I got my sweet boy, Cooper Boone. All right, get your tickets now or check out the entire game schedule at atlutd.com. That's atlutd.com. Atlanta United, unite and conquer.
The Burt Show.
If your child is experiencing bullying at school and you are at your wit's end, you don't know how to help your kid, you don't know how to intervene, you don't know what to do to make it stop, do not fear. We have an expert here. So I want to go ahead and out the gate thank Shantae Miller-White, CEO and founder of Parents Against Bullying. She's an author and anti-bullying expert. We definitely want to get Shantae knows her stuff. And I know there's so many parents out there that are dealing with bullying. And so we want to make sure, and since the school year just started, try to help you out as best we can. So here's the email that got us to reach out to Shantae. And it says, "Hey, Burt Show, P1 here. And I love listening to you guys every day. I'm hoping you and the Burt Show fam can help me navigate this situation. My daughter is in the 8th grade and being bullied by two girls. She doesn't want me going to their parents or to the school, thinking it will make the situation worse. I cannot stand seeing her upset, and it breaks my heart every day. With all the news about teenage girls hurting themselves because of bullies, I feel like I'm at a loss. I don't want to make the situation worse for her, but I feel like as a mother, I have to do something. Do I approach the parents regardless of my daughter's wishes or approach the school with my concern? I would love to hear from others on how they handled a similar situation, a very concerned mama bear." So again, if you're experiencing something like this, we have Shantae Miller-White, CEO and founder of Parents Against Bullying, on the line. Hey, Shantae, are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. Okay, good. I'm so glad we got you because you are seriously the expert and we wanted to tap into you. So I just read the email, which I know we had given to you ahead of time. What advice do you have for this mama bear when it comes to bullying?
Yes. First of all, I want to tell her to please make sure that she advocates for her daughter. Make sure that she speak with her daughter to let her know that she's there for her, encourage her, that this is the best thing for her to do is to speak up and speak out about it. Because the last thing that we want to do is something to occur, and then mom has the feeling of, I should have said something.
Okay.
I hear that so many times. I've sit with so many parents, so many family members that wish they would have said something when they knew something. And so therefore, my first thing is to tell her to please, whether that means she wants to reach out to the school system, whether that means that she wants to reach out directly to the principal, but she needs to, first of all and foremost, to reach out. Because 57% of the time, statistics shows that when you speak up about it, mm-hmm. the bully will stop.
Okay.
So we need for her to not be the bystander, even though that's a strong word. But in this situation, we need for her to stand up and to advocate for her child. So that's my first advice.
Thank you. And that's fantastic advice, Shantae. I want to ask, so what can parents do? And obviously this is about trying to stop the bullying, but if you're unsuccessful in stopping the bullying, what tools can you give your child to, for mm-hmm. them to mentally and emotionally cope?
First of all, continue to have conversation. It has to be consecutively. And what I mean by that is, we have to start having conversations earlier because it's starting to happen earlier. Every 7 seconds, it happens on the playground. So that means start at an early age and continue to have encouraging conversations to let them know that they're safe, building that safe space with your child or with a child, if it's not even your child. Make sure you're building that safe space by having that conversation to let them know find someone, if you're not around, meaning the parent, find a safe person that you feel comfortable with to speak to them about the situation, meaning that an adult around them, and to make sure that they speak up about it and let them know that it's okay to not be okay, but what are we supposed to do to be okay? That's the speaking up piece that we're encouraging them about. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to have this ongoing effect where we're losing too many of our youth behind not being comfortable with talking about this uncomfortable topic. So we have to build that foundation of comfortableness and letting them know that you can come to us or find someone that you're comfortable with and speak on it, because we have to.
All right, so we're talking to Shantae Miller-White. She's the CEO and founder of Parents Against Bullying. She's an author and anti-bullying expert. Shantae, we actually have a caller who would love to chat with you. So Angela, sure. You got Shantae. What would you like to ask her?
Well, we teach our kids to ignore. I think that's the key thing that we were always told when we were younger, you just ignore it. And what we found out with, I have three adopted kids, two are black, one is white. My kid was called Black Monkey in school, told to go back to Africa. We went through so much with her and she ignored it and it got worse for so many years. So now my youngest is being told, oh, well, the reason you're adopted and God took away your parents is because he doesn't like you. I'm telling you, y'all wouldn't believe that some of the stuff this kid comes out of these kids' mouths, and they would hand her phone numbers, say, hey, call us, and then go, oh, no, don't call us because that's a fake number. Nobody likes you. Nobody ever wants to talk to you. So it's to the point of the ignoring does not work. And the school can only do so much, because the school can address direct stuff, but like just mean, no home raising kind of stuff. You have to teach your kids, you know, what do you teach them? What do you teach them to say back? Because they have a zero tolerance to say anything back. So what do you teach your child when the ignoring just makes it worse?
And I would like to use the statement, because I know exactly what you're saying, that we were raised as to what goes on your house stays in your house, and the sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt you. And we're knowing as the years go on and as we get a little older and as society changes, that is a unfair statement, because that doesn't work anymore. If you don't speak up and speak out, because words do hurt, because words stay around. A wound will heal, but words will stick in the back of your head, and you'll always remember that. So we have to change the narrative as we're changing, as the culture and the world is changing. We have to speak up about it, and we have to teach them nowadays that you must speak up about it. Meaning, if they don't feel comfortable doing it directly to the bully, then they need to direct it to a safe adult around them or someone that they feel safe and comfortable with, and let them be that advocate for them. And when you talk about the school, you guys, in every state you have laws, and now each state is starting to adopt the laws about bullying. And at Georgia, you guys have anti-bullying laws. There's 120-2-751-6 that you can look up. There's another one, 20-2-751-4, which is holding the kids and the parents, if need be, accountable for these situations. Yes, the school can only do one thing, but that's why you have laws in place to handle it outside of the school. So I have a book. It's called The Guide to Combat Bullying. Let's Push, The Guide to Combat Bullying, available on Amazon. And it has the tips. First of all, I need you to start writing down, keeping a log of the things that are happening with your adopted kids. And also, hats off to you for doing that, because that's a big step. So make sure that you're logging these things, because not all the time we can remember things, but if it's on pen and paper, you can go back to it and let them know what's happening. So you do have laws in place, and you do need to teach them how to speak up about it in a comfortable space so that we can handle it, meaning that the adults can handle it from there. And I hope that helps you.
Hey, Shantae, how can others get a hold of you if they have other questions about bullying?
Yes, you can reach us at PAB Kids with a Z, KIDZ.org. And directly from there, you can call us or you can email us. All of our contact information is there, along with resources as well.
Thank you so much for taking your time to chat with us. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
The Burt Show.
Tori knows that this new dude that she's seeing has himself a side gig, but she's not sure if it's ethical or not, and not sure if she should continue to ditch this guy or date him.
Yeah, so this is for a friend of mine, and she needs some, like, major tough love right now, because she is simply refusing to listen to me. She's been dating this guy for a few weeks, and he told her something that I think is just a giant red flag. He admitted that sometimes he earns extra money by panhandling on the street. And, like, he is not poor, he's not homeless or anything like that. Like, this man has a job. but he thinks this is like an easy way to get extra cash. And then when he does this, he says that he's collecting money to help children. Yeah, it's not entirely lying because like he's using the money for child support payments. But like, I don't know, to me that feels very scammy. And my friend, she's not very lucky when it comes to dating. And like, she's like kind of letting this slide and she's justifying it saying like, at least he's trying to support his kids. But I don't know. I don't think this is something that she should let slide. Like, this is a pretty big red flag. And like, yeah, it's good he's supporting his child, but like, I feel like he should be doing that with the money he's earning at his job. And he's just going about this in like a really dishonest and weird way. And I don't even know if like, this is legal what he's doing. And I just think it like shows a lot about his character and his like honesty. So I'd love for you to agree with me and tell my friend that she should dump this guy.
We will. But here's the thing. If she has all this information and she is still choosing to be with this man, Tori, there is nothing you can do.
Yeah, he must be in other areas is all I'm saying.
I mean, making like, up for it. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but like if everything you laid out for us, what he is doing as far as like, you know, panhandling and he's saying it's for kids and he's actually using it for his kids for child support, like if she has all that information that you just told us and she is still choosing to be with this man, then your girl's going to have to just, she's going to have to learn the hard way.
Yeah, he's got a really shady vision of values right there. And if this is one thing, there's got to be others.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat where if I had a friend like this, the first thing I would want to do is try and control the situation. Yeah. Like, this is clearly bad news. We need to get you out of this relationship.
It's like SEAL Team 6, extract her from this relationship.
Yeah, we need to eject her from this relationship. But I heard something on TikTok that's been going pretty viral the last couple of weeks. And it's made me redirect my thinking when it comes to my friends being in bad relationships, because I'm the first person to tell you to leave. But this, I don't know who said it, was some influencer that says, the man that a woman chooses in their relationship says everything about how much she loves herself.
Oh, that's good. Mm. Say that again.
Oh, wow.
The man that she chooses to be in a relationship with, your female friend, says everything about how much she loves herself. Dang. So I think you got to take that energy towards wanting to eject her from this relationship and just pour it into making sure that her self-worth is where it needs to be, so that she feels that when she's ready to leave that relationship, she can move on.
We don't need Socrates. We don't need philosophers. We have TikTok now.
Shout out TikTok. No, you're 100% right. That's like the best advice ever. Abby, she nailed it. Instead of trying to get her out of this relationship, just make sure your friend knows her self-worth and how much she's loved by you.
All right, we're all going to agree on this, so let's make it a little bit challenging. Mo, you are being hired as a defense attorney.
Oh, okay? Now, lovely.
As a defense attorney, you are paid to defend your clients if you agree with them or not. So defend this dude and his panhandling, even though he doesn't need to.
Here's the thing. Man, that's good. That's really good. Here's the thing. In life, we all know that life is hard.
Yeah.
We all have different journeys, different travels, different things that we have to do that we're not necessarily proud of at times.
Different struggles.
Sure.
Most people are smart enough to keep things like this to themselves and not tell you when they're doing foolish things. But this man is clearly transparent. Okay. He's being vulnerable.
100%
he's letting
honest.
You in. Yes. This is an honest man who's simply doing whatever he feels is necessary at the end of the day to take care of his kids. Mm-hmm. And if he do that for his kids whom he loves, once he loves you, he'd do the same for you. So isn't that the kind of guy you want in your life?
Well done. The answer is no.
But a solid well argument. Done.
Solid argument. Tori, go ahead. Tell your friend. Just she needs to blow this guy off. And if she listens to you, great. If not, just move on with your life.
Okay, perfect. And get her to love herself.
Yes.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, Tori, see ya.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes, like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
All it takes is one phone call.
You're looking for.
Who called people out at the funeral? You were there at somebody's funeral. You're standing up there. You're giving a eulogy. You're giving a speech. You're looking out at who is in attendance and looking at people you think have no business being there because they treated the person who's deceased like crap. So you start calling them out at the pulpit.
Oh, we have all been in that situation before, right? Where you're like, you're watching everything. You're like, what are they doing here? She cheated on him 3 years ago or whatever.
So 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. So Lil Duval shared this on his social media. He is not the one who created this content. I do not have like the content creator's information. All I know is that he shared it. So I'm watching this. I'm pretty sure this is satire. But
it's hard to tell these days, isn't it?
It really, really is. Now people actually put hashtag satire in their captions, which I'm like much appreciated. It feels like satire. However, it got me thinking, who called somebody out at the funeral? Because that would be beautiful.
Half of y'all in this church, she did not mess with and she did not like you. I don't even know why you here. Because you didn't mess with my partner.
Oh my God.
And on top of that, you talk bad about her. I don't even know why you here. Because you got a lot to say and ain't came and did nothing for her. You, I'm just waiting for you to say something.
Yeah, so she's up there with her glasses on. She's looking out at the people
that'd be fantastic.
In the crowd and just calling them out. And I saw somebody else post this, and they actually tagged their sister, and they were like, this better be you at my funeral. If you're up there and you see people who are there and have no business being there.
I've seen this once. Years ago, I went to a coworker's funeral, and it wasn't a lot of people in this church, but there were enough people to where his brother got up there and started speaking and clearly had a few drinks before he came and started calling everybody out in the crowd who we felt like
should be
there.
Really?
You guys were never there for my brother. I was at his house when he was sick. I didn't see any of y'all show up, so don't show up now acting like you in love with him. People started leaving. I watched the whole speech. It was crazy.
Pulled popcorn out of your pocket.
You'd have paid for that.
Well, I saw people going back and forth in comments, and some person called it tacky, to which another person responded, what's tacky about it? Like, you're speaking the truth. Like, if these people really did treat the person who is no longer with us with mad disrespect, why wouldn't you? The thing that's tacky is them coming to the funeral and pretending like they had some kind of relationship or they cared about the person when they were actually here, they could have cared less.
And I assure you that the person that passed away, if they are up above looking down, is going like, thank you.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
I would want that.
All right, so imagine you just start dating somebody. Actually, you're not even dating them. Like, you're just referring to them as, like, a casual fling. And they send you a cease and desist letter. Please explain, Rebecca.
Yeah, it happened to my best friend in the whole world. Her name is Bailey. I've known her since kindergarten. She's allegedly pretty smart. Just not when it comes to men. Mm. She's always been a little bit of a dum-dum when it comes to guys.
We all have our weak spot, girl.
I don't know. It's like, at this point, it's not even like a pattern the way that she chooses the wrong guy. It's like a personal choice. But the last person that she was seeing, we'll call him Jake, he really took the cake. So she had only been seeing him for 3 weeks.
Okay.
And just like most of the men that she starts seeing, the first date is great. He's super committed. He's looking for something super serious. And he thinks she's great. She thinks he's great. And they set up a second date. And once that comes around, he's a little flaky. He can't come. Let's reschedule. The night shows up and he's like, come on over, babe. Why don't you just come to my place?
He turns what was supposed to be their date into a booty call?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Which, to be fair, she's down with because she's in her, like, she's in her 20s. She's a young, independent woman looking to get her rocks off. I salute that. So they both knew what it was. That was totally cool. She's down with the situationship. And he was not really boyfriend material anyway. He was a little strange. He was very passionate about some random things and just kind of seemed to have a hair trigger temper. But all of this really went down in a big way. I'm sorry. It's just so funny. After someone anonymously posted his photo in a private Facebook group called Are We Dating the Same Dude?
I've heard of these. Yes. We've talked about these before on the show.
They're all over the country. I'm part of one in Atlanta. So this one was for her area. Someone had anonymously posted his photo, basically claiming that they had been seeing him for a few weeks, just asking if anyone knew him, anybody else dated him. What do you think? Now, my best friend, she's not a part of this group. She had no idea that this was posted.
So this is basically just doing recon on the person you're dating.
Yes.
Whether maybe you have, because you told us about some of the red flags that he showed to your friend. Uh-huh. So maybe this woman saw some red flags and she's like, hey, let me like kind of seek this out and see if anybody else had any issues with this dude.
Exactly.
Okay.
So one of my best friend's friends is a part of the group, saw the post and commented on it. She said, I have a friend who's been seeing this guy for a few weeks. Wouldn't recommend.
As a dude, how do you feel about these Facebook groups?
I don't mind.
Yeah?
No, I mean,
if you mind your P's and Q's, then what do you got to worry about, right?
Bingo. Yeah, keep this like, out of the street clean.
That's like not that nice to like hear about yourself, but honestly, like that's pretty harmless, I would think. Not to this guy.
I mean, there's nothing defaming here. Like, there's nothing defamatory, rather.
Not at all. But he did not feel that way, actually, because someone in the group took a screenshot.
Which you're not allowed to do, right?
No, that's totally, like, beyond the boundary of what the page is supposed to be. Sent it to him. As soon as he got it, he started going nuclear. He blew up my friend's phone while she was at work.
And she didn't post this comment. It was a friend of hers that posted the comment, correct?
Yes. But he was convinced that she was the anonymous poster and had set the entire thing up to make him look crazy and undateable.
So he thought she was the OG poster.
Yes.
Posing as another woman. Because he apparently, when he got this, he's like, I'm not dating this woman. Mm-hmm. I don't know her. So somebody's setting me up.
Yes.
Oh.
That's what he thought, which is total BS because they were both seeing many more people, honestly. But he wasn't listening to reason. He started threatening her. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm going to contact your job. Tell them that you are unfit for your career.
Oh, bless.
He said he was going to sue her for defamation of character. At the end of the day, he had called her upwards of 16 times. And she, smartly enough, did not answer him,
yeah,
went on to just block him, as she should have done in the first place. And
yeah, I think after call, I don't know, one, I would have blocked, and I have to call 16.
Yeah, no, she, it took 16 for her, yeah. But the next day, as she's walking to the front of her house, she notices her mailbox is open. Inside, there is an unmarked envelope. She opens it, and there's an obviously typed up Microsoft Word printed out letter. And if you will, I will read it to you. It says, "Dear Bailey, this letter is in response to the defamatory social media post contributed by you, the receiver of this letter. As is my right, I formally demand you delete the post and submit a full written apology to the members of Are We Dating the Same Dude New Orleans Facebook page. Any further writing will be swiftly dealt with through my lawyer. Sincerely, spelled wrong."
Oh, sincerely, you're spelled wrong? Oh.
No second E. You just forgot that, I guess. Jake. So, yeah, he sent her a cease and desist.
What's that? He just dropped it in her mailbox, or was it officially mailed?
It's not official. He did it on his own Microsoft Word. It didn't come through it didn't come through a legal source, so it's not legit.
There was no postage. He just dropped it off as he walked over.
That's a federal offense.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. You can't even put stuff in your neighbor's mailbox.
What?
Yeah. I learned that as an HOA president.
Which I was floored by, because I put stuff in my neighbor for Valentine's Day. Jimmy's Valentine's for his neighborhood friends. I put him in the mailbox, in his friends' mailboxes, and apparently I can go to jail for it.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
I had no idea. So she can sue him.
Yeah. The Bird Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a History Meets True Crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
TikTok video that made our producer Jackson take a real hard look at himself in the mirror.
Boy, did it. So I was on TikTok perusing, as you do, and a TikTok came up that kind of called me out. And usually when I get these sort of self-help videos where they ask, does this sound like you, or can you relate to this? I tend to ignore them a lot, because a lot of times it feels like they're making these kind of blanket statements and that more or less kind of apply to everybody. And it feels like they're more fishing for engagement than actually like calling you out for something. But this one spoke to me a little bit differently.
Wait, so you brush your teeth in the morning, but rarely at night?
Yep.
And you text back your work colleagues, but not your friends?
Unfortunately.
Also notice you're always smiling in in public but break down at night.
You know me too well.
And you want to eat healthy but you're always ordering takeaway.
Pretty much.
And you complain about being exhausted but you stay up late at night. And you're probably a high achiever but inside you're emotionally numb.
That's me.
What's going on, man?
Well, my nervous system's actually stuck in a functional freeze state where I feel completely overwhelmed but still remain functional because I completely disassociated from my body and shut down my emotions.
Damn.
You're a real a-hole.
I feel personally attacked. Same.
Right? Does that not sound a little bit familiar?
Yeah, I check a lot of those boxes too, yeah.
So this guy's describing what's called a functional freeze, and so I decided to do a little bit of digging into like what this actually means. And so by definition, a functional freeze is when you outwardly function and complete daily tasks, such as going to work, but psychologically you're stuck in a frozen state. And I feel like this really called me out in a big way as like how I've been feeling as of late, where it's exactly what he's describing. Like outwardly, I feel like I portray someone who's put together. And when it comes to my professional life, I'm able to function, you know, perfectly fine on that end. But then when it comes to my own personal and emotional life, it feels like I'm living kind of two separate lives. And it was kind of a shocking revelation for me to come to terms with, because I think I've sort of internally noticed this, but I haven't really been able to put it into words until I heard these examples. And so now I started kind of thinking about my life and how I've been behaving lately. And, you know, the brush your teeth in the morning, but, you know, rarely do it at night, or think of it as like this huge chore that you have to do. I think procrastination with a lot of things in my personal life come into play with this. Like my car, I got into a car accident like 2 months ago, and it's been on the list to get it fixed, and I can't even get myself to call a mechanic to, you know, go and get that done. I'm staying up way later, and I'm taking a lot more naps during the day because it feels like I'm trying to like avoid a lot of things in my personal life. And I don't know, like it was kind of shocking for me to hear all this.
Live to work, we should like work to live. So sure. We should be spending like it. If anything, that should be inversed.
Tommy, play that audio again, and let's put our hands up. And for every one of these that applies to us, just put another finger up. Okay, so we're starting at zero. All right, go for it.
Wait, so you brush your teeth in the morning, but rarely at night?
Yep.
And you text back your work colleagues, but not your friends?
Unfortunately.
Also notice you're always smiling in public, but break down at night?
You know me too well.
And you want to eat healthy, but you're always ordering takeaway?
Pretty much.
And you complain about being exhausted, but you stay up late at night? And you're probably a high achiever, but inside you're emotionally numb?
That's me.
What's going on, man?
Well, my nervous system's actually stuck in a functional freeze state where I feel completely overwhelmed.
So how many we got here? I had four.
I have five.
Six. Five.
Two.
Two.
Whoa. I was not expecting that.
He's like,
don't be so shocked.
He's like, you guys are really dysfunctional.
You're on a brag now.
That's a lot, man. That is a lot.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, I feel seen.
Right? And Christian, I think you were batting at 100 there.
Yeah. I don't feel seen. I feel flipping attacked is what I feel.
So what does it mean then?
I think it comes down to a lot of psychological stress where, a lot of times with professionally speaking, and when it comes to work, you have a lot more control over those kind of things. And also more people are reliant on you when it comes to that. And so that causes you to be a little bit more motivated to do those. Mm. Whereas you're able to put off things in your personal life.
Mm.
And I feel as when you're the sole breadwinner, I feel like there's a lot of pressure, and that probably makes you overperform in your work life rather than your personal life.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And then is there a follow up TikTok that says how to change it?
How do we unfreeze?
Yeah,
Susan, can I please make an appointment ASAP?
Fix me, please. No, I looked it up and it was like meditation and get fresh air and exercise, but those are just things. Blah, blah, blah.
Go outside.
Yes, don't look at your phone at night before you go to bed.
So I am a little bit surprised, because what you guys portray, Abby and Mo, on the show feels a little bit more insecure than what is reality then. I mean, here we are all raising our fingers and everything, and you guys seem the most settled.
Are we not as depressed as we think we are?
Maybe not. Because I'm trying to remember the two that related to me, the feeling numb on the inside while getting things done, for sure. I forget what the other one was, but...
Texting colleagues over friends.
No, I don't have that problem. I have to make a conscious effort to text my friends and family back more. So that was something I struggled with at once. The toothbrush one is funny because I do it at night, but it feels like such a annoyance at night.
It does. I do. I'd be brushing my teeth, but I'm not happy about it.
Well, good on you also for finding the only TikTok over the last 2 days that's not Hawk to a girl.
I had to change it up a little bit. Good friend of mine went on a date with a young lady that he has been very excited to finally go on a date with, and it ended with him embarrassed and bleeding from his face, and I think it's my fault.
Those are two bad things.
Yep.
Embarrassed and bleeding.
There you go. That's not the way you want a date to end, but that is how it went down, and it all started because a good friend of mine, he's a lot like in your boat, Abby, where he's constantly going on dates, but there's never a second date. He just never seems to get excited about anybody and never seems to work out. The difference is he's the kind of guy that believes in like really going all out on the first date. It's always a very expensive dinner. He's willing to pay. That's his thing. I'm always trying to get him to go on dates that don't cost as much, but he just never seems to want to do that. That's not his style.
Love bomb, baby.
That's him. Like from the gate, right? And the last date, I think he literally spent like $300 and something on a date. And the date ended up being so bad for him that he faked having diarrhea so he could leave early.
Oh, like, damn.
That's the kind of situations this man finds himself in.
I am just really curious, just as a sidebar here, both Kristen and Abby, if you're on a date, right? Mm-hmm. Would you rather a guy just say to you in the middle of the date, hey, I am not feeling this? Or would you rather him flop by saying like, I'm having stomach problems?
If you pulled the stomach problems card on me, it feels a little bit like an insult to my intelligence because I know that you know that I know why you're saying that. And so for you to just use the excuse anyway is going to make me think, how dumb do you think I am?
So you would rather be more insulted by him in the middle of the day going, look, I'm not feeling this, than him making up a lie.
Let's be real. I'm probably not feeling it either. Okay. So.
just lie to me.
Just tell me you got the poops.
Yeah.
Okay.
Healthy gut is a healthy butt, by the way. Just want to make sure everybody understands that. Yeah. Now.
Get your good probiotic, man.
There you go. So we move forward and I'm like, listen, man, why don't you try going and doing something more physically, like active, like go to a museum, go on a bike ride, do something like that. Or better yet, like ask her what she's into. And then when she tells you, come up with a plan to do something that doesn't involve you having to spend so much money. Like there's other ways to go on a first date. He's like, you know what? That's a good idea. I never thought about that.
Asking her what her interests are.
Yes.
Never occurred to him.
Never popped in his mind.
Everything's starting to make sense now.
Right. So indeed, he does that. And turns out that she actually was into the bike riding idea because apparently that's something that she actually does like all the time. She's an athlete. She goes bike riding a lot. Now, my idea to him of the bike riding was like ride around the city, do something cute, something like that. But when he asked her, she got super excited because apparently this is something she does once a month with her friends. And so she invited him to go. Now, this is not really my guy's speed. He doesn't get on bicycles. Not his thing at all. He had to rent a bike to pretend like he had a bike to go on this date. It was a whole thing, right? It was hilarious. Now, what her plan was to go with another couple, which I think that's another reason that she was excited, because now you don't have to feel like the third wheel. You got somebody coming along with you. So he agrees to go on this bike ride with her as a first date idea. They went to some kind of trail and he was like explaining this to me because I've never been a bicycle type of guy like that. But apparently they were like going up and down these hills. And he said it was one point where he was genuinely scared for his life because it was like you had to do like ride on, I guess, the edge of like a mountain like structure. Uh-huh. And if you fell, you were really going to fall.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize it would be like that. So he gets through that part. And for the most part, everything initially is going well. And so they're going. And he said it gets to a point where it's like a hill. And the hill is big enough to where he felt like maybe I should go around and I shouldn't try to paddle up the hill. But he saw the couple do it. And then he saw her do it. So in his mind, I got to try this. Yeah. Like you have to do it now. So first date, too. You want to impress her.
Yeah.
So he said they go up and you like at the very top, you got to start really pedaling to get up beyond the hill. So he said they went. Then she goes. Then it's his turn. They egging him on. Let's do it. Let's do it. So he starts to get, running start. And he gets right at the point where everybody else started pedaling harder to get over. When he started, he knew it. Mm-hmm. In that moment, that bicycle was not getting over that hill.
Mm.
Nor was he. So he said he starts tumbling back down. Ooh. He could see the look on her face of like, oh no, this is not going to go well. The bike falls. He falls with the bike. Apparently, the bike landed on him in his dingleberries and his ass everywhere.
No.
His face, he hits the chain of the bike. So the chain somehow cut the side of his face. So now he looks like he's in the middle of a boxing match. He didn't have anything to like stop the blood. So he had to take his T-shirt off and wrap it around his head to stop the bleeding. And that was literally how end of this date ended. And yeah, he doesn't think he's going to be hearing from her again.
Oh, but did she like... I think if something like that happens on a first date, it could potentially lead you to something more. Like, was she there by his side to help him in his hour of need?
Well, no, because they all had to come back around. Like, and it was a further way to go. So you were just down there bleeding, waiting for them to come back and pick him up.
What is your definition of a dingleberry?
Excuse me?
You just said it's dingleberries.
I was wondering the same.
Yeah. What? You said it hit him in a dingleberries.
I was trying to find another way to say, you know.
It's nads.
Yeah.
Okay. Dingleberries are not nads.
No.
Well, duh. But I can't say what I wanted to say.
Could have said nads. I'm saying it.
Well, yeah, that's not a black word.
Dingleberries are more of a black word than nads.
It is now.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.